Joseph got up and paced the room, trying to think. With his mother asleep, he had to watch his father every second. Joseph glanced at him under the desk. Papa was quiet now, but the slightest thing could set him off. Joseph couldn't go for help anyway. If anyone knew his father was unwell, he'd be barred from entering Cuba. But Joseph also had to go get Ruthie at some point and make sure she got dinner and was put to bed. Suddenly, Joseph was the man of the family, the only adult in the family, whether he wanted to be or not.
"Have you ever seen a man drown?" Papa asked in a whisper, and Joseph jumped.
Joseph wasn't sure if Papa was talking to him or just talking, but he was afraid to answer, afraid to break the quiet spell his father was under. His father kept talking.
"After the evening roll call, they would choose someone to drown. One every night. They would tie his ankles together and his hands behind his back and tie a gag around his mouth, and then they would hang him upside down with his head in a barrel. Like a fish. Like a big fish on the pier, hanging upside down by its tail. Then they would fill the barrel with water. Slowly, so they could enjoy the panic, so they could laugh. And then the water would rise high enough to cover his nose, and he would breathe in the water because there was nothing else he could do. He would breathe in water like a fish. Only, he wasn't a fish. He was a man. He would thrash around and breathe water until he drowned. Drowned upside down."
Joseph's breathing stilled. He caught himself hugging Ruthie's stuffed bunny tight.
"Every night they did it, and we all had to stand and watch," his father whispered. "We had to stand and watch, and we couldn't say a word, couldn't move a muscle, or we would be next."
Tears rolled down Joseph's cheeks. He thought about how he'd treated his father at the Cuban doctor's examination, how he'd made his father believe he was back in that place, where he'd seen so many awful things.
"I can't go back there," his father whispered. "Can't go back."
His father closed his eyes and put his head between his knees, and soon he was asleep. Joseph sat with his sleeping parents until the cabin started to get dark, and he couldn't put off finding Ruthie any longer. He would just have to be as quick as he could. Joseph left the cabin and found his sister splashing around in the pool with the other kids. Joseph asked a steward to bring their dinners to their cabin tonight, and as he led Ruthie back, he congratulated himself on surviving his first day as an adult. Until he opened the door, and his father was gone. Joseph dropped Ruthie's hand and got down on his hands and knees to search under the beds, but his father wasn't there. He wasn't in the cabin at all.
"No,
no," Joseph cried. He shook his mother, begged her to wake up, but the sleeping draft was too powerful. Joseph spun in the room, trying to figure out what to do. He snatched up Bitsy and put the little stuffed bunny into Ruthie's arms.
"Stay here," he told Ruthie. "Stay here with Mama, and don't leave the cabin, understand? I've got to find Papa."
Joseph ran out the door and into the passageway.
But where to now? Where would his father go?
Papa hadn't left the cabin the whole trip, and now he had decided to leave? Joseph heard a commotion, and he sprinted up the stairs to A deck. Up ahead, a man was helping a woman to her feet, and both of them were looking angrily over their shoulders, the direction Papa must have run. And that's when Joseph remembered. His father had left the cabin before, to watch them bury Professor Viler at sea. Somewhere up ahead, a woman screamed, and Joseph took off at a run. He felt as though he was outside himself, like he existed outside his own skin, and he watched himself slam into the rail and look over the side. Someone yelled, "Man overboard!" and the ship's siren shrieked. Joseph's father had jumped into the sea.